Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFO Radio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review, or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that will help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Greg, and Greg had an encounter with something back in 1991 on his uncle's property down in New South Wales. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cade. Good to finally catch up and have a chat.
Indeed it is, mate. It's good to have you on, and the encounter that you had is fantastic. Are you able to take us back to that day and walk us through what happened?
So, quite a long time ago now. It was back in 91 or 92. No, it would have been 91 because I left school in 92. Me and one of my best mates, who's still one of my best mates now, we were camping at my uncle and auntie's property near Cranbach on a little area called Belbora, which is about 10 minutes out of Cranbach. And for those that don't know, Cranbach's about 40-50 k's sort of east of Gloucester, in between Gloucester and Foster. So yeah, that's where it all went down. So me and this friend, we were camping on my auntie's and uncle's property down beside a creek. And we'd been there for probably, we were there to camp for a week, and we'd been pitched down by the creek for about 3 days. And we'd been setting eel traps up and down the creek and pulling out a lot of eels and doing what young boys do and creating a bit of shenanigans. But one night in particular, we were camping down at the spot, and we had this massive tree beside us. I can't tell you what it was, but it was full of cicadas, and the cicadas were that noisy. It made you feel sick. It was ear-piercing. So anyone who's been in the bush when the cicadas are going full noise, you know what I'm talking about. But all of a sudden, the cicadas stopped, like, just instantly. And all of a sudden, we could smell what was like a dirty, wet, stinky dog. And not long after we smelt that, we heard like a deep growl, I can't even describe what the sound was like, but it was just a deep, deep growl from like the bowels of something's stomach. And my uncle, who was on the property at the time, used to play a hell of a lot of practical jokes with us all the time and mess with us when we were camping as young kids. And so we thought it was him, and we started yelling out a few profanities, and all the nice curse words that young 14, 15-year-old boys know. And all of a sudden, something grabbed the tent, and it shook the tent, like, violently. And we completely just shit ourselves. So we start smashing our heads against the tent, thinking that was my uncle, and we jump out of the tent and start screaming, and whatever it was pitch black, but whatever it was, the cicadas stopped as soon as whatever it was turned up. It messed with us with the grabbing the tent, and then it jumped across the creek, and it started, you could hear it running up the hill. Now, this hill would probably be about 50, 60 degrees, so it's, you know, it's not steep, but it's not flat. Now, you could hear it running up the hill, and you could tell that it wasn't a kangaroo. Anyone who's been in the bush, and even at night, you can hear kangaroo moving through the bush, and you can tell by the speed that it's moving, and how big the gait is between its strides. And whatever this was not a kangaroo, and it sounded like a large man running, or pushing its way, running up the mountain. And we jumped out of the tent and started throwing perfectly smooth skimming rocks at the area where we could hear this sound coming from. So once we heard that, we could hear it running up the hill, whatever it was, we shit ourselves and we legged it to the house, which is probably 900 metres to a kilometre away from where we were camping. And we stormed into the house, and there's my auntie and uncle sitting on the couch watching TV, and we busted in the house and abused them, like, again with our profanities. Like, I won't say what they were on the show, let the audience think about the words we were using, but they were adamant that they had not messed with us at all. And my uncle at the time was, well, they were both smokers, but my uncle at the time was a full-time rolly smoker, like, and he was sitting on the couch, not in a sweat, not huffing and puffing, and there is no way in the world he would have beaten two fit 15-year-olds to the house. Like, we would have won a gold and silver medal at the Olympics. We were running that fast. So that's pretty much exactly what happened, word for word. But what was weird is a few years later is we didn't really discuss it or talk too much about it, but a few years later there was a TV show with an incident up there, and a girl was approached or stalked while she was riding a horse in the same sort of area that we were. So kind of put one and one together and thought I'd reach out to you and share my story.
It really is a fascinating story, because I've never heard of a Yowie approaching a tent and actually shaking it, because I've heard stories of Yowies who will come in close, you'll hear them growl and things like that. Mm. But to really go that extra step and shake the tent, that would have been a pretty terrifying experience.
Oh, we shit ourselves, mate. Like, and he'll agree as well. Like, he's a pretty tough guy, but he shit himself just as much as I did. But I kind of got the feeling that, because we were pulling eels out of this creek, and, you know, we probably pulled 50 or 60 eels out of this creek that would be as, you know, as round as your leg and as long as your leg. So I don't know whether it was upset with us messing with, like, its ecosystem, or if we were disturbing it in some way, because we pulled these eels out and just left them on the side of the creek, as kids do. So I don't know if it was trying to send us a message, or who knows. Your guess is as good as mine.
That's actually really interesting, because I mean, you put that in the email, but I don't think you said that in the story that you're telling there. But yeah, you were pulling those eels out, and
yeah. That's
a really good point. I wonder if, because you were doing that, you pissed it off, because that could have been one of its food sources.
That potentially could have been what was happening, but who knows?
So you're in your tent. This thing starts shaking the tent there. At what point did you hear the growl? And at what point did you start to think, okay, maybe this may not be my uncle? Or was that more so when you got to the house, you realized, okay, this wasn't him?
Yeah, like, so we smelt it, And then we heard the growl, and then it when we started yelling out our profanities, it grabbed and shook the tent. And it wasn't like a minute long shaking. It was kind of like a, you know, just like a, just a grab and just a quick shake. But it was quite violent. Like the, you could tell something grabbed the tent. And by the time we got to the house, you could one and one together, and it definitely wasn't my uncle. Or there's no way it was my uncle.
So how strong was this wet dog smell? Is that the best way that you would describe it?
Yeah, like a just a like a dog that hasn't had a bath. And you know, anyone that's been on a farm and you've, you know, the local dogs come up and you've patted the dog and then you've sniffed your hand, you've gone, oh shit, I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's extremely relatable.
It was that smell, just that dirty, like it's been rolling in something dead. And I mean, I also grew up on a chicken farm where our dogs would roll in things you couldn't even imagine. And you'd pat the dog and it was disgusting, but that's what it was like. It's just a dirty, wet, stinky dog.
And was that smell around for quite a while, or was that something that kind of just came on and off quite quickly?
It kind of just came on. So we were sitting in the tent just talking gibberish, and you could just smell it all of a sudden. But when we smelled it, that's when all the cicadas just stopped. It was like someone had just flipped a switch, and they just, from an ear-piercing, sickening sound just to zero, like nothing. Not one of them was chirping, and that was pretty weird.
Yeah, that's really odd. It's pretty regular behavior to have, I guess, the atmosphere just kind of get sucked out when you hear of a yowie in the area. And I wonder if that's what was going on here.
Mm. I mean, I've heard of the other stories of, you know, like stick throwing and, you know, maybe throwing rocks or smashing sticks against trees for them to communicate with each other or send a warning. But, you know, to approach two humans, that's pretty out there.
Yeah, it's not something I really hear a lot when it comes to yowie encounters, because like you said, you hear a lot of encounters where people have the things thrown at them from a distance, or you'll hear wood knocks or something like that.
Yeah, but that's right.
For it to come up that close and shake the tent, I mean, I would hate to think of what would have happened if you and your mate didn't yell out the way that you did, because if it thought you were asleep or something like that, who knows what could have happened there?
Well, I mean, if it really wanted to mess with us, you know, it's whatever we're just two kids, you know. It could have just grabbed us and just tore us in half if it was what we think it was.
It's a good point, and it's impossible to know how long this thing was watching you for, because I had a look on Google Maps about this area that you're telling me about, and it's heavily forested. There's a lot of coverage in that area.
Oh yeah. So like it was a cleared area where we were, but there's parts on that property where it was like stepping back into time, you know, the staghorns and the elk horns, and you could step into the bush and never be seen again if you wanted to. I mean, look at Malcolm Naden hiding in the bush for all those years, you know, and that's the same kind of terrain. It's the same sort of bush, heavily timbered.
Yeah, and you're really not that far away from the Blue Mountains. I mean, maybe a few hundred Ks away, if that. And
yeah, it'd be about 250, 300.
Yeah, 300. And it wouldn't surprise me if some of those ranges kind of continued all the way up towards where you are.
Mm.
And that, as we all know, you know, the Blue Mountains is a heavily infested area with yowies. You know, you hear people having encounters in that area on the regular. And I wonder why that is, because I can kind of see from what I'm seeing here, you know, there's a lot of riverways. There seems to be just an almost ideal location in this whole area for yowies.
That's right. I mean, the whole eel thing, I kind of got the feeling we might have been messing with the food source. It might have been pissed off that we were messing with its food source. So, but also not to use the food source and just pulling them out and leave them on the side of the creek. It might have not been very happy about that.
Yeah, it's something that you really just could have rubbed this creature the wrong way. What kind of farm did your uncle have?
He had a maybe 100 head of cattle, but he was predominantly like a market gardener. So like tomatoes and corn and watermelons, rock melons, all that kind of stuff. And he used to sell it over at Town Head near Wingham, Taree Way, Purfleet, over that way.
Did you ever ask him if he ever had, I guess, produce go missing? Because it wouldn't surprise me if this Yowie was sticking around that area. If your uncle was growing that type of food, that could have been a really easy food source for this creature too.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's pretty easy just to sit on the fringes and head in there at night and grab yourself an easy feed. But I'd like to ask him, but he's not here anymore, so I can't really hear that. That's all good, man.
So tell me about the situation with this growl, because this would have been something that would have turned that whole night on its head for you, I would have imagined.
I can't even describe it. Even when me and my friend discuss it every now and again when we talk about it, the sound that we talk about, we can't replicate it. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like an animalistic growl, but it was like something was... It's like a dog, you know. If you approach a dog and the dog's pissed off and he's like, don't come near me because I'm going to bite you. It was like that, but real deep.
Because one thing I do hear when it comes to, you know, Yowie and Sasquatch encounters in particular when it comes to this type of growl is that it sounds like it's coming from something with an extremely large diaphragm, and that it seems abnormally long and kind of to a pitch that you just don't hear that comes out of any other type of animal. And Australia is one of these really unique locations where we don't have any predators out in the bush. So to hear something like this would be really kind of spine tingling.
Yeah, we shit ourselves, man. It was, like I said, I can't describe it for your viewers. It was just, your listeners. It's just, I can't even describe what it was like. Just a deep animalistic growl, like from the pits of its stomach, to let us know that it was there.
And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month. So this growl happens, you hear the smell, it shakes your tent. Why were you so mad to get out of the tent to go throw something at this?
Well, it's fight or flight, isn't it, I guess, is human instinct. So you either sit there and it's going to mess you up, or cave our head in with a rock, or we get out and we fight. And then we sort of fight and then we fight.
was there a discussion that happened before this? Were you talking to your mate?
No. There's no time for that. There was no what are we going to do? It was just like, get the fuck out and run. And I mean, when we started throwing rocks, because you could hear it run up the mountain, and we started throwing rocks, and these rocks are perfect skimming rocks beside the creek that are being smooth and flattened by water flow. And, you know, we're two 15-year-old kids that played a lot of cricket and we got good arms. So we sent quite a few stones in the direction of where the sound was coming from, going up the hill, and then we just turned and legged it straight to the house.
Did you hear any noise of you actually hitting the creature, like any type of, like, I know this might sound weird, but like an oof sound?
No, not I can remember. I mean, I've done quite a lot of hunting, and you know, when you strike an animal with a projectile, be it rifle or bow or whatever you're using, you hear that sound of contact. But yeah, I can't recall hitting it, but we definitely threw a lot of rocks.
So one thing that you said there earlier that really kind of raised my interest was that you said the gate on this was quite large. So that's something that maybe a lot of listeners don't understand who may not do any hunting. I don't do any hunting myself, so this would even be great for me to kind of get my head around. But you kind of compared it to a kangaroo. And for, I mean, every Australian knows how a kangaroo hops, yeah, how it operates, yeah, things like that. But maybe we have a fair few overseas listeners who may not understand that. So would you be able to tell me the difference between what you would say a man's gait is and what a kangaroo's gait would be in that instance where you could definitely tell the difference?
So a kangaroo's gait or its hop, when it's at just a mellow speed and there's no danger, you can, you know, it's like the Aussie guys, all the people in the bush would know what I mean. It's just a hop, 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 hop. But if it's at full noise, like if it's a say a dog or a predator chasing it, or there's a fire and it's in danger, you can, like a kangaroo's gait will be more, it won't touch the ground for 2 seconds in between its bounds. But you know, it'll clear, you know, 10 feet plus in one bound if it's at full speed. But whatever this was, it sounded like a man running through the scrub. So you could tell it wasn't a kangaroo, because now kangaroo, when it's in midair, there's no sound. When the kangaroo makes contact with the ground, it's got sound. But this, whatever this was, it sounded like human. I won't say footsteps, but you could sort of tell whatever it was running and pushing its way through like blackberries and scrubby kind of shit on the side of the hill.
And what was the visibility like that night? Was it kind of like a pitch black? Yeah.
Pitch black. Couldn't see a goddamn thing. Like we didn't have a torch. Like we might have had a lighter at the start of fire, but it was as black as black. Couldn't see a thing.
So how would you go running through the bush on that night? Would it be something possible?
I wouldn't, because within 5 seconds I'd trip ass over head and I'd have a broken leg and there'd be a helicopter coming to get us.
So this thing didn't have that issue then, did it?
No. And the funny thing is, at the bottom of the hill next to the creek, there's a 5-strand barbed wire fence. So it's gone across the creek and gone over the fence and started running, where, you know, for a man to do that or a human to do that, it's, you know, you got to either go through the fence, under the fence, or put your foot on the bottom strand and climb over and, you know, potentially get your balls hooked up on barbed wire or whatever. But whatever this was, it's gone over the fence in like it wasn't even there.
And how high was the fence? Is it something like about a meter high, 3 foot high, something like that?
Yeah, probably be a bit over a meter, I guess. I guess the post would probably be just over a meter.
And to do that in the dark, that's basically impossible for a man to do that at speed, yeah, in that situation.
Without a torch or some kind of light, you know, I don't think it can be done.
So what was the reaction from your mate after all of this happened? Because everything kind of happens so quickly by the sounds of it. You get back to your uncle's house. What happens then?
Well, we just go inside and we're just talking gibberish and still asking questions about my auntie and uncle if they've messed with us, and they were adamant that they didn't, and we didn't really think too much about it after that. We just watched TV with them for a while and kept questioning them and kept asking them questions, and nothing happened. And the next day we woke up, went down to the creek, unpitched the tent, packed up all of our shit, and slept in the house for the next 2 nights because we didn't want to be back at that spot.
This is a weird question, but were the eels still there?
I can't remember. They would have had to been. There would have been, I don't know, we set a lot of eel lines. Like anyone who's grown up in the bush and, you know, those back roads, you know, you set eel lines and you get like 2 metres of nylon or a bit of fishing line and put a hook on it and tie it to a post and put a bit of meat on it and chuck it in and pull them out. But I can't remember if they were still there or not. But yeah, it's a long time ago when this happened.
Yeah, and I know that's such a minute detail for this whole event that happened. But I just wonder if that thing, if it came back and kind of took your catch away.
Maybe.
So, you and your mate, you go back to your aunties and uncle's house. You kind of barrage them for a little bit there.
Mm. And
did you just feel like, did you have a feeling you saw something that wasn't quite right?
Well, that's the problem, is we didn't see anything. That's what makes it so, I guess, it's hard for your listeners to think, oh, these guys are full of shit, because we didn't have a visual encounter, but we had an encounter of some description, but we didn't see anything. That's be a bit different if we had a torch or a headlamp or something like that, and we saw something running up the hill. That would be completely different.
Do you wish you saw it?
Don't know. I mean, it'd be cool if we did see something, but it's cool to have the experience that happened to us anyway. But don't know. I'd like to. It's not in the family anymore, this property, but it'd be cool to go up there, and always thought about doing some hunting up there and setting up some game cameras and seeing if you can catch anything on camera.
It makes me wonder if anyone else around that area has had similar encounters, because earlier you said there was a girl who had the encounter with a beast like this while she was on her horse. But I wonder if there was anyone else around that area who had properties who maybe encountered something like that, because I know small towns like this, they don't really like to share these types of stories, but
yep,
I also know small towns have a lot of history to them when it comes to weird things like this.
Mm. Well, years later, I thought about going to the pub and asking the old locals around there if they've witnessed anything or had any kind of encounters, but, you know, like you just said, people don't, in little towns like that, they don't want to talk about that kind of stuff because you get labelled as the village idiot, or, you know, you should be in a padded room with, you know, like a white jacket on. But I have no doubt that there'd be locals in that area that would have had experiences, for sure, no doubt. But just choose not to talk about it, I guess.
And I think that's something that is just second nature when it comes to these types of things, because to go out there and say, hey, I saw a Yowie, it's something that not every person in the world is going to be on board for, unfortunately.
Mm. Well, not far out of there, just on the other side of probably towards Eastertown, I saw something online with a lady who caught something in the headlights one night, and she has gone on record to state that she was adamant that it was a man-like creature that stood up and walked in front of her car in the headlights, and she saw it as clear as day. But same again, she said, you know, you don't talk about this kind of stuff because people think you're a nut job.
Yeah, it really is a curse of living in those small country towns, because I can imagine, like, there is just so many encounters like this that are just kind of lost to history because of, you know, embarrassment, ridicule, and, you know, just people not believing, which is really quite a shame.
Mm, yeah, well, it's not the sort of thing you go to the local pub on a Friday night and start talking about at the bar, because you wouldn't be there for very long.
What's your mate think of this situation now? You know, he's probably, well, you've obviously had a fair bit of time to talk about it. You're still good mates with him. What's the conversation like these days when you go back to that night?
Well, it comes up every now and again. Like if we're sitting around the fire and having a few beers, and, you know, someone might, there might be a word or something that come up, and we'll go, oh yeah, how about when this happened to us? And, you know, I tell the story exactly how I've just told it then, but that's about it. It just doesn't really get spoken about. And then, but someone else in the group might say, oh, I've had an encounter, I've had an experience. Like his ex-partner said that she had an encounter one day out near Currumbong, which is out at the base of the Wadigan Mountains, and she swore that something stalked her while she was on her horse.
Yeah, it's, I think it's something that happens to more people than a lot of people would actually care to admit or care to even realize in this current day and age. But it's definitely a really fascinating encounter that you've had there. And what I really like about it is that it really was kind of like a four-person encounter. There was you, yourself, your mate, and your auntie and your uncle, which, you know, really does add a lot of credence to this type of event, because a lot of people, you know, they may have this event on their own and then not actually speak to anyone about it for years and years and years. But you had this really unique set of, I guess, a situation where you had the event and then you basically ran off and told someone about it essentially right away.
Yeah, within, I mean, like I said, man, we got to the house in record time, and there's no way my uncle would have got to the house if he was messing with us. Like, no way. But the angle, you could hear it going up the mountain. It was just going straight up the hill. And once you get into that bush, you just melt into the bush. You just disappear.
Yeah, it's, the Australian bush is so unforgiving and so thick for this creature to just kind of get up that hill in that speed and disappear in the way that it did. It's, you know, it really does make you wonder what type of creature can do that.
Yeah, that makes you wonder, makes the mind boggle.
And, you know, to throw on the fact that, you know, this thing was bipedal, happened in pitch black nighttime, there's a lot of questions that I have unanswered in this whole encounter.
I mean, if we had a torch, that would have been awesome. But, you know, whatever it was walk. It was upright. You could tell by the gait and its gauge. You could tell it was walking upright. Whatever it was.
Yeah, definitely. And Greg, you've had nearly 20 years to think about this encounter. What do you think it was? Do you think it was a Yowie?
Well, I'd have to say yes.
And what do you think? What's your thoughts on the Yowie? Like, what do you think it is?
Well, it's a good question. You can ask different people in different areas and they will say, you know, you talk to the Aboriginal community about it and they might, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, the word Bunyip or Yowie, Sasquatch's been thrown around. You know, people of recent, when the conversation comes up, there's been people making statements that they might be able to move through portholes, or I don't know, Kate. I really don't know.
And you know what? I don't think anyone really knows at this point in time. It's one of those really fun questions I like to ask people who have seen these things, because it always depends on the encounter and the situation that you had. From everything I've heard with your encounter, it sounded like it was very much a very physical encounter. You know, you could hear the thing walking around. You could smell it. There was definitely a presence there. And I just love the fact that it had an effect on the surroundings around you, with all the cicadas just stopping all at once, which is, it never happens. That just never happens.
Like, it was just like a switch. It had just been flipped. Like, you'd turn the light off in the room. It was just ear-piercing, like, to make you feel sick. And then as soon as we smelt that smell, it, like a switch, just instantly stopped. But for something to physically grab the tent, you know, that's the amazing part of the story. Yeah, a bit strange.
Definitely is, Greg. And thank you so much for coming on the show. That set of encounters it's fascinating, because it, you know, just really does go to show that you don't need to see these creatures to have the full effect of an experience with them.
Well, hopefully some listeners are out there then in these little country towns and these backwoods, and maybe they'll come forward and share their experiences.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/BelieveUFORadio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.